Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna on News Talk.
Yes, you can email the show, aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Always love to hear from you. And you'll find me on Instagram. I'm at Claire McKenna Presents. Coming up this morning, Ireland opens its first dedicated Ayurvedic retreat centre in Laois. I went to meet its owner, farmer Neil McDermott. Fiona Brennan is back to answer a listener dilemma about a child who has been bullying another and how to know you're with a narcissist, or perhaps it's you. I'll be joined by Dr. Adele Maron. So what kind of a health and wellness week did I have? I have had a good week. I was at Beyond the Pale in Wicklow last weekend, and I want to extol the virtues of a festival, the power of music and shared experience, and the importance of letting your hair down. Now, that's going to look different to everyone. For some, it's going all out in full-on costume. Some go sober, some stay sober for the weekend, some go the complete opposite. But it's basically just having fun at the centre of your weekend or your day or your night or however long you're going for. I was checking in with a friend this week who was also there too, and we were saying how lovely it was to have such a mishmash of people all together, different ages, different styles, all together for the same reason. We absolutely loved it. The sun, I have to say, did make a big difference. You can have fun in the mud and the rain, but there is an extra layer added to everything, from the outfit choice to where to place your foot in the mud so that you don't fall over. So it was nice to just have that chill, relaxing in the sunshine type feeling. My husband was DJing, and I say that not to show off, but there's a nugget in here for you. He said to me a couple of years ago that even though he's a really happy guy, you know, that's just his MO. He loves his wife. Thankfully, he loves his wife and our kids and his job and the people he works with. But he felt like there was something missing. Now, he does play golf a bit. He goes to the gym. He's a great group of friends and he loves to socialise. But what we landed on was that perhaps he should find something that's just for him. He loves music, so he did a DJ course. We got him his own set of decks, and basically it culminated in a slot in the Strawberry Fields tent last Saturday afternoon, and it was so great. It's just so important, that bit of joy seeking, that inner inquiry, and it's really worth, if you can, chasing what comes up, as you never really know where it might lead. You can email the show, aliveandkicking@newstalk.com. Now, the word narcissist has completely exploded into everyday use. It's been used for exes, bosses, friends, family members, and pretty much anyone who has annoyed someone. So have we started to flatten quite complex human behaviour into very simple labels? I'm joined on the line by Dr. Adele Maron, founder of COTA, who has a PhD in workplace behaviour and specialises in how people communicate, relate and interpret each other in everyday life and work. You're very welcome, Adele.
Thanks so much, Claire.
So what do you think? Are we beginning to trivialise a complex human behaviour, or is it good that we have more awareness of these behaviours?
Yes, well, I suppose it's twofold. Great to have awareness around these particular behaviours, particularly for those who are experiencing on the other end of that behaviour. However, we have to be very careful in how we use that word. It's a very loaded word. It's a clinical term. And sometimes, you know, that kind of therapy language is being moved into the workplace and used and weaponized against others. So we have to be careful how it's used.
Yeah, well, let's understand it a little bit then. What is the true definition of narcissism?
So narcissism is a pervasive personality disorder, Claire. And so it's a consistent pattern of grandiosity, entitlement, a lack of empathy, exploitation of others, and just a constant need for admiration.
And are you born a narcissist, or is it something you develop over time?
Okay, great question. The research tells us that you are born with innate qualities, you know, for narcissism. However, the environment can, I suppose, accelerate that or amplify that through parenting styles. And so it will come out more within the personal traits, you know, that have been inherited.
So it's that sort of monkey see, monkey do. If you grew up with a narcissist, you're more likely to carry those traits.
Yeah, behaviours in the environment can have an impact. So there's two types of, broadly, to in terms of narcissism, grandiosity. So that's very much, you know, overly confident, that kind of, it's obvious to us if somebody's grandiose narcissist. Then you have, you know, the vulnerable narcissist, somebody who is a victim of life, a victim, you know, in everything that they do, they want constant sympathy. And they are basically what they would call covert narcissists. And there's different types, but one really dangerous one is the malignant narcissist. They're quite close to more pathological, psychopath tendencies. But the environment does have an impact. So the parenting style, Claire, you know, whether you overly exaggerate your child's achievements and so on, the grandiosity may come out further, or the vulnerable narcissist may, you know, be more developed if they have emotional neglect, less availability from the parent.
And I suppose we all want people to have a sense of self, to have self-confidence and self-esteem. But what really jumped out at me in your definition was the lack of empathy. So yes, to be totally concerned with yourself only and not be able to show compassion to other people or try and put yourself in their shoes.
Yeah, and you've hit the nail on the head. That is largely the issue there, is the empathy thing. So somebody who is unhealthy, kind of maybe a colleague, you know, they will have a level of empathy. Sometimes it's present, but it may be blocked by stress. But they'll return to an empathetic nature, whereas a narcissistic colleague or a leader would be, it's absence there. However, there is the point that they can perform it. So they can mimic empathy for their gain. But as soon as the audience leaves, the mask will drop.
Okay, so there can be manipulation. So is there a sort of a lack of self-inquiry or self-reflection?
Yes.
Because as you said, we can all be guilty of a bit of grandiosity at times. But later on, when the dust settles, you think, did I overreact there?
Yeah.
Could I have handled that differently? That's gone for a narcissist. That doesn't appear.
No, it doesn't appear, because it's very linked to accountability. So somebody who's unhealthy, like you said, Claire, you know, you will reflect, you will take accountability and say, right, that's my bad, or take responsibility for part of what has occurred. Whereas a narcissist does not take accountability. They will either deflect, they'll project, they'll attack the other person, or they'll play victim.
So how does this impact on relationships, be they personal or professional? It must be quite challenging when you describe it in that way.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, when somebody is going through, I suppose, being exposed to narcissistic behaviour in any context, it is a complete dismantling of their sense of self, like you've said earlier. It's a dismantling of their confidence, of their sense of, you know, their reality, their self-esteem. It's very underhand, subtle behaviours, particularly for the malignant narcissist. They very much do it in private, yet project this really caring person publicly. So it can be very debilitating and traumatic for the victim. A very damaging behaviour, and it leads, you know, to, you know, maybe mental health or well-being, you know, deteriorating. So it is a very underhand and dangerous kind of behaviour that the victim's exposed to in any context.
Because there is another term that's getting bandied about a lot now, and that's gaslighting. But is that something that happens here, where you will be dealing with a narcissist, but you are being forced to question your own perception of reality and being questioned, and then you begin to question yourself? Isn't that the true definition of gaslighting?
Absolutely, that's exactly it, Claire. So basically, they're distorting your reality, so in order for you to think that you're almost going mad, that didn't actually happen, and that's just all about the confusion that narcissists love to create. They love to create confusion and drama, because that helps them actually emotionally regulate themselves. So they'll create that gaslighting, and gaslighting will happen constantly, and that will constantly, and that'll be done, you know, consistently over time. It's, you know, so that they really dismantle the person's confidence in themselves, the trusting in themselves, and actually make them think that they're going mad, that they're not, that that actually didn't happen. So they're constantly, you know, questioning themselves at all times.
When I hear narcissism discussed, it's almost as if it's something that can't be helped or lived with, that if you find yourself, you know, with a narcissist, you'd better run. Is that true? Is it something that can be worked on or changed, either from the narcissist themselves or the person who is with them, be them, you know, professionally or personally?
Yeah, great question, Claire. The research is pointing to that there is no medical or psychotherapy intervention that will eradicate that personality disorder. So, and the other thing is that narcissists don't see themselves as the problem. They see everybody else as the problem. So they generally don't go into counselling. And it has been also shown that those, again, following certain scholars in this area, should they go into counselling, sometimes they'll mimic different, you know, behaviours to maybe manipulate the actual counsellor, you know, and so on. So but generally, at the moment, the research is saying, no, there's no intervention that can help this disorder.
So what is your advice to someone who's with a narcissist, works with a narcissist, or may even be a narcissist?
Yeah, well, in terms of handling narcissistic behaviour, Claire, I would say, you know, the first thing is they call it, and you would see this, people talking about this, but this is important, using the grey rock method. So that means that you don't feed into any of the emotional reactions that the narcissist is trying to bait from you. So you become so boring, like a grey rock, that you're uninteresting, you're non-reactive. So because they're constantly trying to get a reaction, emotional reaction out of you, so that it makes you look like the issue and not them. So I would say that if in terms of work as well, so the grey rock method, paper trailing things, so records of emails or messages, incidents, so paper trailing that in any context, you know, of what happened and recording that, setting firm boundaries as much as you can. Although, as I said, it is a narcissistic injury. If you are setting boundaries, they see that as disloyalty to them. So that can be met with rage and sabotage and manipulation or smear campaigns. So that can be an issue. So, but trying to keep those firm boundaries, limit your personal sharing, particularly at work, because they may use that against you later on through rumours and so on, and escalate strategically, I suppose, through your HR mechanisms, but escalate, you know, in any context, you know, where you can get this, the supporting bodies there that, you know, that understand this particular behaviour.
Yeah. And seek support. I think it sounds like it's a very challenging situation, and I want more from people than to just be a grey rock. We all deserve to be glittery crystals. So seek support for sure.
Absolutely.
For more on Adele's work, you can go to COTA Consultancy. That's spelled K-O-T-A consultancy.com. Dr. Adele Maron, thank you so much for coming on.
Lovely, Claire. Thank you.
Right. Coming up after the break, therapist Fiona Brennan answers a listener's life dilemma.
Alive and Kicking with Claire McKenna. Sunday morning at 8 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.